inhabitant of the Son, of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Father.
We celebrate today the 16th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Poor Martha. How many here associate well with Martha? How many Martha personalities do we have? My hand is up. How about Mary? Who associates with Mary? How many Mary personalities do we have? Well, you know, you want to put your hand up, but you just don't quite have that courage, right? You know, I think Mary is a very popular name, but you don't hear Martha very often, do you? Do we have any Marthas? No Marthas. I wonder if this gospel is why, you know? Actually, my mother-in-law's name was Martha. And I remember well times when we were all in church together when this gospel was being read and when the priest or deacon got to the part where and when Martha, Martha, you're so anxious and worried. It seemed like half of the church turned to look at her, you know. Her husband was standing next to her going like that, you know. So I wonder if that's probably why we don't have too many Marthas. But let me also ask you, who here kind of feels sorry for Martha?
Yeah.
I think she was providing hospitality for Jesus, who was a guest in her house. Right? And just like today, perhaps even more so in first century Jewish society, hospitality was very, very important. You showed hospitality even to a stranger, never mind a friend. And it would be the height of rudeness not to serve a guest. And then imagine if that guest was Jesus. So of course Martha was serving him. What about Mary? Who kind of feels a little bit annoyed at Mary? Yeah? Sitting there while Martha was doing all the work. Right? Would you think that Mary would have the basic decency to say, "Let me just get up and help my sister," because then the work would get done more quickly and both of them could sit down and listen to Jesus. Wouldn't that seem to make sense? And then, to top it all off, Jesus seems to chide Martha for her hard work and praise Mary for her, well, how should I put this? For her not helping. Okay? What is going on here? You know, maybe in one sense you could say, is Jesus just kind of like a typical guy or Martha, a typical woman? I'm going to get in trouble for saying this with my wife, but let me tell you how it works at our house. You know, when guests are coming over, the house has to be perfect. And as it starts to get close to the time that guests are going to be arriving, you know, Carol will say something like, "Guests are going to be showing up any time now, and look at this house, I have so much to do." Now, what's my response typically? It's, "What are you talking about? The house looks fine to me, there's nothing to do." And then back and forth we go. Am I alone here? Or can you relate to what I'm saying about this, right? I mean, is that what's going on here? Is this what's happening between Martha and Jesus? So, for centuries, Martha and Mary have been seen as symbols for two kinds of spiritual life. The active life, represented obviously by Martha, who's always doing, and then the contemplative life, who is symbolized by Mary, who sits at the feet of Jesus and receives and listens. And as a result of this ancient symbolism of these two women, people have kind of concluded that of the two kinds of ministry, the active and the contemplative, Jesus prefers or thinks the contemplative is perhaps a bit better. Now, is that really the case? Is that really what he's saying? You know, I think we need to, if we didn't hear it, we need to look carefully at the words that were used. If you listen to that gospel, it says that Martha was burdened with much service. So when Martha comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, don't you care? I'm doing all the work. My sister's not doing anything. Tell her to help me." Notice, too, how Martha bosses Jesus around. She doesn't know what to do. I find that interesting as well, right? But Jesus responds with that classic line, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried. You are anxious and worried about many things." See, Jesus is putting the emphasis not on Martha's serving, but on the fact that she's anxious and worried about that serving. In other words, Martha seems to be a distracted woman. Have you ever been distracted? If you've been distracted, you know what that's like. You know what that could do to you. You know how that could pull you away from doing the things you should be doing. Did you ever try to have a conversation with someone who is distracted? It might help if you think of a teenager at the moment. Sorry to teenagers here. Like maybe a teenager constantly on their smartphone all the time. Yeah, you ever see those? I have. I had one of those at one point. Yeah. You almost want to scream at them saying, "Are you listening to me? Did you hear a single word that I'm saying to you?" Martha seems to have a lot on her mind. She's anxious, she's worried, she's fretful about so many different things. She's distracted. And Jesus wants to free her from that burden. So what does he say to her? He says, "Martha, Martha, put down the smartphone." No, that's not what he does. That's what he would probably say today. He says, "Martha, Martha, there's only one thing that is necessary, and Mary has chosen it." What is that one thing that is necessary? Well, there's nothing new here in what Jesus said. There was that time when he spoke to his disciples, perhaps you recall, in Luke's gospel, he said, "Don't worry about what to eat or wear. Look at the birds of the sky." He said, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store things in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than birds? And he said, "Don't worry about what to wear. Look at the grass of the field. Solomon, in all his splendor, wasn't as beautiful as the grass of the field. Something that gets chopped down and thrown into the fire. Beautiful today, chopped down, mowed down, and thrown into the fire tomorrow. Are you not more, if God provides the grass in such a way, will he not provide all the more for you?" And then Jesus says the same thing. He says, "O you of little faith, why are you so anxious? Why are you so anxious about these things?" And then says, "Seek first the kingdom of God. Then all these other things will be given to you this once." So you see, Jesus corrects Martha, not because she's serving, but because she's anxious and worried and burdened about the serving. And as a result, it's pulling her away. It's distracting her from something more important. And what is the more important thing? Well, that's what Mary teaches us. You know, it's important to know that as the gospel describes Mary, she is taking the classical position of a disciple who sits at the feet of the Master, Jesus in this case, and learns from him. And Jesus is saying, Mary has her priorities in the correct order. She has chosen the better part. So, yes, service is good. Work is good. As a matter of fact, work is essential. It's necessary. We all have our duties to fulfill. It's part of God's plan for our life. Every Christian is called to engage in acts of service. That's love of God and love of neighbor, serving God by serving our neighbor. But the moral here for us is that all the service in the world could never be a substitute for prayer. You have to remember to pray. Prayer is non-negotiable. And like anybody, I fully understand that our days are filled, right? Our daily duties seem to take up all of our time and pull us away from God. But what Jesus is saying here is that busyness can easily become an excuse for not engaging in prayer. Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you have young children to care for. Worse yet, maybe you have teenagers in your house. Right? Whatever. Being busy does not excuse you from... I can't tell you how often I hear people say, you know, I'd love to pray. Pray, but I just don't have the time. I'm too busy. Or what I hear perhaps even more often is, well, I try to pray, but I right away get distracted with everything that I have to do. Does any of that sound? Any of that sound familiar? But the lesson that Jesus is giving us through his words to Martha is that unless you pray, unless you remember that first and foremost, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, then you will become anxious and worried about life and feel that you're just not making progress in all the things that you need to do. A good friend of mine would always say, if my day is wrapped up in prayer, it's less likely to become unraveled. Another question I get then is, all right, well, how much do I need to pray? How much time should I spend in prayer? And of course, I can't answer that for you. Only you could answer that. But what I can do is I can share with you the words of St. Francis de Sales. He wrote extensively about prayer, and he said in one place that everyone should pray at least 30 minutes a day. So there's a number for you. There's a goal if you're not doing that, something that you could aim for. I'll take the liberty to modify what St. Francis said. He said everybody should pray at least 30 minutes a day. I agree. Unless, of course, you're a busy person. If you are a busy person, then you need at least an hour. You need more if you're a busy person. Otherwise, you can't pray less if you're busy. It means you've got to pray more. You need to pray more because you need to have all your activities animated by a spirit of prayer. And the only way to have that happen is to get into the habit of praying. Prayer puts our activities, even mundane, day-to-day activities, into their proper focus. Otherwise, when you engage in all the activities that we all engage in, you're going to find that you're getting anxious
not trusting in God, filled with worry and anxiety. When we remember to pray, every last one of our activities all of a sudden is transformed into a Christ-centered ministry. Even mundane things become ministry. There is a lot of Martha in all of us. And we all need to remember that what we want to do is to become more like Mary. Mary was someone who just couldn't have enough. She couldn't get enough. She wanted to hang on every word that Jesus said and take every opportunity to do so. That should be our goal too. The bottom line is that we all need to remember that there's only one thing that is necessary: to seek first the kingdom of God, and then trust that God will provide everything else.